everybody. This is Jim Cornette, pro wrestling legend, and you're listening to the Book in the Territory Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everyone, to Book in the Territory, the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast, where today we're talking Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 105 from January the 29th, 1994. We are still in Chilhowee High School, Chilhowee, Virginia. God, I hope I'm saying that right. If not, fuck, I just don't know what else to do. Doc, how you doing this morning, man?
As always, I'm feeling beautiful. How about yourself, man? It's a little early, though, to be doing this shit. What's wrong with you?
It is a little early, and that's probably because we're without Harper this morning because he is on the road with Wildcat today and this weekend, and we just had to proceed without him. He felt bad, and he said, man, I wish I'd have thought about it, but, you know, that's how Harper is, man. He don't think too many days in advance. He kind of just wakes up and realizes what's going on, and he goes with it, where you or I, we seem to plan weeks in advance. Would you agree?
You told me we were getting started early because you had to go meet your parole officer later today.
That's not even funny, but okay. So, we will jump into this thing. I do want to say something. So, I'm not sure this is going to happen, what I'm about to say, but you may be wondering why this episode dropped on August 24th and why episode 104 dropped on August 23rd. Well, here's the deal. If that happened, I'm not saying it will, but if that happened, it might be because I might be off the grid for a few days when the show was about to drop or should have dropped normally as scheduled. So you may get a double dose of Smoky Mountain this weekend, and then you won't get another dose of Smoky Mountain until about 10 days later. So you probably won't hear then 106 until like September 3rd around that time. So just letting y'all know.
Wait.
So we're staying on schedule, but you're getting one episode a week early.
What?
See, sometimes when you time it, sometimes when you schedule the show, there are issues. I've had it happen a few times, so I haven't decided what I'm going to do. It's either that or schedule it, and if it doesn't drop, well, guess what? People are going to be waiting a week anyway, so whatever. I'm glad you couldn't follow that, Doc.
Well, I'm smart, so if I can't follow it, these people are going to be lost. You can't do that to these people.
Okay, so would you rather I don't have access the day the show is supposed to drop, and it doesn't drop for some unknown reason, and all of a sudden, you know, my Twitter and Facebook and email inbox is blowing up, and people aren't getting a response? No. So I get ahead of it, unlike you, fucking idiot.
Hey, let's talk about some wrestling, though, because I think this is going to be a real interesting episode to talk about, because we're here to celebrate the great people of the Smoky Mountains. And since Harper isn't here to call them assholes and shitheads, I'm sure we're going to have a real respectful show.
I think we will too, even though you do the same thing. Quick shout out to Randy Miller, RE Miller 39, longtime Hall of Fame patron. He enjoyed our talk about the Texas heat and how the ground turns to concrete around here in the summer. So,
bruh, man, here's where we're at now, man. We had a break in the sweltering 100 degrees.
You mean 109?
Yeah, but now it's flipped around to where the moisture's coming out of the Gulf, so it's only 90. But it's humid.
And but so we ain't getting no rain.
Well, here's the other thing. There's all these tropical, like, rainstorms all around. But you got to be sitting under one. So last night we sat there over at the mansion here. And Jesus. I heard thunder for two straight hours. And it barely
not a drop
rained.
Of rain.
It was two poots of cum. And it was barely enough to fucking get the sidewalk wet. And I was like, dude. Man, this is a prick tease of epic proportions. I mean, it was I could see light. I was sitting outside drinking a beer. I was like, I could see lightning. It was thunder. I was like, damn, man, this shit's about to pop off.
I heard lightning and thunder. I went outside this morning, and the ground is still like concrete. Not a drop, though.
It was like Mud Show Menace on prom night, dude. She got undressed, and you shot her a load.
Oh, okay. That's nice. So shout out to Randy again. He's from this area. That's why he's
never
said
heard
that.
Of him. Is he new?
No, he's not new. Did you not hear what I said? Long time Hall of Fame patron. You just want to be an asshole. He's also a doctor like you, but you know.
No, come on.
But again, so shout out to Randy. And if you're not a patron, go to tinyurl.com/patreonbtt. That's right. That's a new link. tinyurl.com/patreonbtt. That's an E between the R and the O. And for as little as $2 a month, you can do more and become a Hall of Fame patron and get t-shirts and all that good stuff. But for as little as $2 a month, you get access to all of the patron-only content, which includes the world-class shows that we do, along with any other pre-shows and other discussions that we have weekly on the show. So there you have it. All right, we get into this thing, Doc, and Dutch and Bob Cottle kick things off as usual. Dutch is looking very Chewbacca-ish, I guess.
Man, he's looking like Charles Manson and shit standing there.
Bob Cottle tells us that we'll see.
That G on his sweatshirt looks like it ought to stand for genocide, man. Jesus Christ.
Bob Cottle tells us that we'll see a U.S. junior heavyweight title match with Luis Spicoli versus Chris Candido. Killer Kyle gets a mention. He'll be back. He comes in and does this thing. He never really leaves, as we talked about before. Terry Funk will be delivering a promo. And then down and dirty is Cornette again with, of course, some type of legal action. Jesus Christ, it never ends. And then we get Luis Spicoli, who comes out and cuts a quick promo. Let me play that quick part from Spicoli and then Dutch's announcement about Down and Dirty at the very beginning of the show. Here it is.
What about Down and Dirty?
Okay, it's my special guest today, Jimmy Cornette, who has got some special words to say, something about some legal proceedings and a court injunction. Right, my special guest today. Stay tuned and listen to it.
All right, fans, as we say, we're going to have a junior heavyweight title match, our opening bout. Let's bring in Luis Spicoli right here, newcomer to Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I understand you came all the way over here just to find and track down Chris Candido.
That's right. I came all the way from California. That loudmouth Chris Candido, he don't want to come out and give me a title shot, so I just had to come here to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and I'm not going back to California, loser. I'm going to get him right now.
All right, fans, as we say, that's our first match, and we're about ready. Let's go to the ring.
All right, Doc, I wanted to play it. We haven't heard from Spicoli yet. Nothing much. It wasn't even, I mean, barely 30 seconds or so, but any thoughts on Luis Spicoli there and Dutch mentioning more legal action coming on this week's episode?
What are these guys going to do? Get in there and see who can take the most somas?
That's nice.
Well, we're getting ready to have a who can live the longest match.
That's really very unprofessional.
Hey, man, you're showing a screenshot there, and there ain't nobody in there that's alive.
Now, that's sad if you think about it. And when you say nobody, you're talking
Matthews, Hildebrandt, Candido, Spicoli. Man, I wouldn't want to stand near that ring right there.
That's fucking true. I never thought about that as
all those
as you
people
said
in
that.
The crowd, half of them are probably dead because you know the life expectancy in places like this is probably about 36 years old. Jesus Christ.
That didn't hit me until just now, man. You ain't lying, man. Hildebrand's gone. Matthews is dead. Spicoli's dead. And Candido is dead. And you need to chill out because Candido, it wasn't like Candido died of a fucking overdose or anything.
No, man, he got hosed up, man. That he got an infection and shit. That's fucked
up. He got fucked. That's
we've said it before. Candido was a hell of a talent and was ruined by a woman. So I have some.
You ever hear that rumor or what? I don't know if it was a rumor. I forget where I heard it, but. Maybe it was a shoot interview on someone did that, you know, he was flying with that, with his leg the way it was, and which helped contribute to the blood clot. I'm not a fucking medical doctor, so I don't know what I'm talking about. But
well,
I remember,
like, you know, it's the same thing Luger said, that he fell asleep on a plane and like it pinched a nerve and like compressed or some shit, and when he came out, he couldn't move.
Well, evidently, supposedly that may have contributed to him to what happened to him, and supposedly Tammy was talking to him like, "Stop being a pussy about your leg," and like was just being an asshole to him. Again, this is hearsay.
If you don't stop being a pussy, I'm gonna go blow the locker room.
Okay, then I didn't say that.
If you stop being a pussy, I'm still gonna go blow the locker room.
Okay, stop, dude. My point is, I'm not trying to. This is all allegedly. I can't remember who I heard this say this on a shoot interview, but Chris drew the fucking short end of the stick, man. It's just really unfortunate. But we'll keep going. We don't want to spend time on the negative because Candido and Spicoli get out there. Dutch downplays Spicoli's win last week. Tammy does come to ringside immediately as the match is starting. I mean, she's out there. We're looking at it on the screen right now. Dutch and Bob question why she's out there. Dutch flat out says how great Tammy looks. I mean, Dutch is over there, you know, violating the Me Too movement. Wouldn't you say, Doc? I don't know if you caught all that.
Well, I also had a thing that Dutch was talking about the Japanese movesets and shit.
Yeah. Well, we just saw it. Spicoli delivers a fucking Frankensteiner in 1994 in Smoky Mountain. And then Candido ends up delivering a Hurricanrana out of the corner. There's still not tons of people doing that shit. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I also had a note here that we used to have Horner working with Candido to teach him wrestling and slow him down. And now Candido's in there, and he's the vet with Spicoli.
Well, they went at it, had a hell of a match.
This was a good match.
It was really good for, I mean, different for this area for sure. But Smothers, Dutch says at one point, Smothers is from Schuylkill, Pennsylvania.
He says
that line out there.
He says Schuylkill, New Jersey in the next episode, I think. So
okay. So long story short, this match ends when Tammy helps Candido, and then Candido pins Spicoli. Dutch makes an excuse for it, saying when Tammy helped Candido, all Tammy was doing was holding Candido's hand because she is sweet on him. Any thoughts on anything else with this match, Doc?
No, good stuff. Good opener.
Yeah, good opener, and good stuff from these two, man. They went out there, and I don't know if the crowd like reacted loudly.
Well,
I like
that Spicoli picked up the pace this week because he worked real slow last week in his debut match, and he picked it up here, so good for him.
He's not a small guy either.
And Candido's Candido, so we like that.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, he's not a small guy, so that's what I enjoyed about the fact that these two got in there and they busted their ass for, I guess, about 8 minutes or so. Good opener, man. A long match by Smoky Mountain Sanders. We've seen Smoky Mountain shows where there wasn't 8 minutes total on the whole show.
That's an automatic 9.5. I hate wrestling.
What do you mean it's automatic 9.5?
If you only got less than 8 minutes of wrestling on the show, I give it a 9.5.
No, you don't.
Okay.
But if you say so. All right, after Candido wins, they go to Dennis Coraluzzo. We haven't heard from him in a while, so let's see what the hell's going on.
This is WWE President Dennis Coraluzzo, and I'm here at the Hall of Records in Philadelphia to prove what Chris Candido has been saying all along, that Tracy Smothers is really Vito Marinara from Schuylkill Haven, PA. An associate of mine is now right in the hall at this time copying the birth certificate. He should be here very shortly. Alfonso, you keep that camera on. I paid you for the whole hour. Hey, Vinny, you got the merchandise.
Dennis, those spots aren't easy to pick like they used to be. Is that a camera roll?
Hey, don't worry. Here we go, people. Living proof that Tracy Smothers is really not from Tennessee, right here in black and white.
Dennis, got my fertility?
How much are you, Vinny?
$50.
$50?
$50.
You gotta be kidding, Vinny. What are you busting my chops for? I've been good to you for a long time. You're trying to fleece me. What's the deal here?
Yo, Dennis, I put my parole on the line for you. You know? Don't be a cheap Siciliano.
Oh, gee.
You know?
Hold on here, Vinny. Hey, Vinny, here. Take that.
Well, like a pawn shop?
Hey, hold. Hey, buddy, give me a favor. We got $20 to get him in a jam.
Up yours. Gotta go, Dennis.
Vinny, I'll mail it to you, buddy. I'll mail it to you. Hey, officer, he went that way.
What are you making this shit?
That was dumb. But in a territory wrestling kind of way, it made it fun. These guys can't. I mean, they can't act for sure.
It was terrible acting. Good God.
And I get the whole Brian Last, Dennis fashioned himself, could have been the real Tony Soprano. And that may be true, but Tony Soprano could act and Dennis Corluzzo can't. So, the only thing this is what it is, but the thing I don't like, and it's, I got proof, but he didn't show us the proof kind of thing. And it's like, okay. Okay.
Well, even if he shows you the proof, so what? Corluzzo, what are you trying to do? Fleece me?
The best actor on the whole thing was the minority dude that was walking by that gave the old up yours.
This is some stereotypical New York and Italian shit.
Right.
I don't know what else to
say. Let me tell you something. If you live up there, this is exactly like down here. They think we all ride horses and cowboy hats and cowboy boots. And you and I don't do any of that shit. But this is what we think. This is what we think y'all are like up there.
No, you speak for yourself on that one. I don't think that New Yorkers are all like that.
I was talking about real Texans. You're not one of those either. So.
Oh, like, yeah, the fucking hillbilly Texans, I call them, like people in the outer lying areas or people in the fucking the ranch side or countryside, whatever the hell you want to call it. Oh, hell so yeah. They look at
everybody I've ever known thinks that that's what it's like up there, because this is what it's like up there. This is why we don't want to go up to the north, this godforsaken people.
This is some stereotypical shit.
They take a shit on the street. I mean, Harper's seen it.
This sidewalk shit. Okay. All right. So after all of that, and we're still trying to, Dennis is claiming he's got proof that Smothers is really Vito Marinara.
I like, this is stupid beyond belief, but I like little stuff like this. So this is the kind of stuff that I will give allowances for. It just is.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Yeah. Yeah. I'm making fun of it, but I'm not complaining. It's
right.
Territory wrestling, and it's kind of funny to see them in this stereotypical way.
And I like to see things that aren't always in the gym. So vignettes that are off location, I like it.
Yeah, all good for me as well. We keep going. We go to Cornette, followed by the Funks, followed by the Bullet. So I'm gonna pause it. I'm not gonna play this completely through, or we'd be sitting here for the next 15 minutes. But so we got first up Cornette. Let's hear from Cornette and what's been going on. I mean, we know the story, but let's pick back up with it right here.
All right, fans, with us here right now at ringside, Jim Cornette. Jim, let's talk about Sunday, yeah. Bloody Sunday. Bloody Sunday, Sunday, Bloody Sunday in Knoxville.
What?
It's going to be blood all over the place. I think a lot of it's going to be yours.
Matt, no, don't say that, Bob. You know, you're a very lurid individual. You're a very vulgar person. I'm going to talk about something today that I've been waiting a long time for. It's the Texas death match between the turbulent Texan Terry Funk and the Bullet, otherwise known as Bob Armstrong. It's going to take place February 13th in Knoxville, and there's a lot riding on this, and rather than me tell y'all about it right now, I want you to hear some words from the master of the Texas Deathmatch, Terry Funk. You take a listen to this right now.
Doc, any other thoughts on Cornette right now before we go into the Funks?
No.
All right, let's go into the Funks then.
The Funk family, the Funk brood, is coming to Knoxville. And I will wrestle Bob Armstrong in a Texas death match. Brother, oh brother, tell them the rules of a Texas death match.
This is your kind of match. This is a Texas death match. Falls don't count in a Texas death match. There can be 1 or 100. There's no stopping the match for any reason. Falls can take place anywhere. And number one, there is no stopping the match because of blood. So if you people can't stand blood, my suggestion is you don't look toward that ring, because Bob Armstrong's blood will be splattered all over Knoxville. It's a Texas death match. The last man standing is the winner. And it's going to be the king of the Texas death match is my brother, Terry Funk.
Why are you going to be there, brother? It's not to interfere in any match, is it?
No, no, no. I'm going to be there. Bob Armstrong remembers me from a long time ago, and I know Armstrong, and I'm going to make sure I'm going to protect Jim Cornette. I'm going to protect Jim Cornette from all of Bob Armstrong's illegitimate relatives that might be around there.
Oh, yes, I am coming to Knoxville. And I know a lot about Knoxville. Yes, I do. On a windy day, with a wind blowing from the east, I can whiff, and I can sniff, and I can smell Knoxville all the way out here in the Panhandle of Texas. And what does it smell like? It smells like butt crack Tennessee. That's right. It smells like butt crack Tennessee. And let me tell you something. It also smells like fear. And what kind of fear does it smell like? It smells like fear. It smells like warmed over death. Oh, is it Bob Armstrong shaking under his covers, covered up, thinking the funks are coming? Or is it Bob Armstrong standing in front of a hot fireplace? Do you understand? Warmed over death. Are you that old Armstrong? My brother and I have a date in Knoxville.
When he said it smells like butt crack Tennessee, I was waiting for him to say smells like Budussy.
I don't know.
I knew he wasn't going to say that, but of course, you know, that's where my mind went. I like you. Look, I want to say something that I think you're going
to
say.
We're getting ready
to
get real disrespectful, pal. Just wait for it.
Yes. First, I understand who Dory Funk is, and I know historically he's significant.
Let me go a step further. Let me help you out.
But come on, bro.
Let me help you out. I just heard him just recently on, I think it's one of those TGBL Whack Pack podcasts. He was on there and did an interview, and he was
podcast called the Whack Pack.
No, it's the Whack Pack was Howard Stern's crew of characters.
You're trying to be funny, no, dude. Don't do. He was on with I think it was Breaking Kayfabe. There you go. Shout out, Jeff. You're Breaking Kayfabe. Yes, I know what you're talking about. Okay.
And I listen to it because I listen to podcasts. So I'm not like
Hey, before you like to piss on people you're just an asshole.
I'm not.
Jeff's a real good dude.
Well, great. But I listen to their show. That's how great they are.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. So there you go, Jeff Bowder, Breaking Kayfabe. You get a plug. Go ahead, Doc.
So anyway, we're so good that I'm not afraid to plug other podcasts. That's how good we are.
Okay.
Dory was on there. He did an interview, and Dory was knowledgeable. He was a nice man. He told great stories. Man, I enjoyed it because it's not the same five people that are on all the podcasts making the rounds. So it was something different and it was interesting. That being said, dude, Dory is a fucking disaster.
Explain what you mean by disaster.
Well, he looks blown up just standing there.
You mean in this promo, not in general?
No, no, no. My other thing is it's a good thing Dory was champ before you needed to talk.
Here's the thing. You're not even being disrespectful in that way. Tony Schiavone, on one of their shows that they did where they did a pay-per-view watch-along, He essentially said the same thing. He didn't say it in the words that you just said it, but he was like, Dory was from a different era. It didn't translate in the 80s and then 90s. It just didn't.
You know how bad, there's another case of this. And so it's not Dory Funk is a disaster to do this. He's not a disaster for his legacy or to be the NWA world champion for years when that shit was
still meant something
meaningful,
right?
When you were the champ. But it reminds me almost as much. This is worse. but it does remind me of when Wahoo comes out on national TV in 1986. It cuts promos too. Now, right. do I want to get in and wrestle with Dory Funk and have him whip my ass? No. Do I want Wahoo to chop me? Fuck no. But yeah. this shit does not translate to the time period it's being worked at all.
He's different than, like, Terry does. Terry translates even today. But right. Terry goes across decades. Man, Dory, I get it. I mean, I respect the man, and he was a fucking NWA world champion. How can I not? But he did, it was just kind of the same thing. Like, when Wahoo would come out, I actually enjoyed Wahoo's matches in the 80s, but when he's talking, you're just like, Jesus, can this get to the end? Because you got fucking Ric Flair and Arn Anderson out there hitting grand slams every time they walk out there.
Dory Funk sitting there standing next to Terry Funk.
Right, who's about to call something Budusi, Tennessee. But calls
dude,
it butt crack, Tennessee.
So we're crapping on Dory here, but how great was Terry? Because the sniffs, if I sniff and I whiff. I mean, he was huffing and puffing out there, man. And it's just so demonstrative and so good. And butt crack Tennessee, you know, here's the thing. He was comedic with butt crack Tennessee. But then he also turned and said, it also smells like fear. And that's good, too, because it's not just like we're making fun of you, but you're scared of us and you better be.
Yeah, Funk's damn good. Thank God, Terry, that is. Thank God Terry's right there cutting this promo because his brother just...
Jesus. Okay, so here's the thing. Great. I'm saving this for next week, so you guys will have to wait a week. But on next week's show, while I'm watching this promo, my six-year-old walked in and watched it with me, and he had some commentary on the Funks. So yeah. we'll save that for next week.
That'll be on 106. All right, let's keep going. We got up next. They go back to Cornette, and then they throw it to the Bullet. So let's listen to what's going on there. Here it is.
All right, and we just heard from Terry. What about equal time now?
What about equal time? You've been working with these politicians too long. Let me explain something right now. There is no equal time as far as Terry Funk. He's the king of the Texas Deathmatch. His father, the late, great Dory Funk Sr., invented the Texas Deathmatch, and Terry Funk has had a million of them. He knows all the ins and all the outs. And Bullet Bob Armstrong is going to... But what do you want?
I want to hear from the Bullet. The Bullet probably got something to say also.
Who cares?
You know, since I signed this contract to wrestle Terry Funk in a Texas death match every month, everybody's called me and said, Bullet, you made a mistake. The man's never been beaten. Well, although he beat Bob Armstrong and he had to leave Knoxville, he's not beat the Bullet yet. Texas death match or not, I know his daddy invented it, and I know Cornette, your evil mind, has put that last little clause in there that says, if I lose the match, the Bullet's gone, Bob Armstrong's gone, and you're going to run rampant in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And not only that, if I lose, I'm supposed to crawl across the ring and kiss your feet. Well, brother, I got something for you to kiss, and I ain't talking grits. I'll never do that. I'll take my last breath, like I said before, on God's green earth before I do that. So you come on down to that Civic Coliseum. I'm tired of fooling around. I've been lucky, no doubt about it. You brought in some big guns in some way. I found a way around it, and I'm still here. I'm still fighting for Bob Armstrong's spot as commissioner. But I know I'm going to run out of body parts before your mother runs out of money. So let's get it all done in one night. Let's do it in Knoxville, and let's do it once and for all.
All right, Doc, thoughts on the Bullet right there. It was kind of quick, nothing too lengthy.
Kissing grits is such a Southern old thing from my childhood, from Alice. Kiss my grits.
Kiss my grits.
Yeah.
I miss the Commissioner Bob, though.
Well.
Him out there in the clip-on tie and the short sleeve. Well. Button down, just in the neon hat, just laying down order, brother.
Well. Well, might not be too far off, but whatever.
Okay.
Let's keep going. Up next, I agree. I can't add anything. I literally have the same notes as you. So here we go. Let's see what Cornette's got to say in response.
Hey, keep your eye on the crowd during this.
All right, Pat, it's all going to come down February 13th in Knoxville.
Let me just say one thing to all these defective genetic morons out here. I know you love the Rock and Roll Express, and
That's
I know
not
you
right.
love Bullet
I just
Bob Armstrong,
it.
And I know you love all these other people,
that's
but when
not
I'm
right.
talking, I expect to be afforded a little respect. I expect the people to shut up and listen to what I've got to say.
That's not right.
Bob Armstrong, I've waited for this for a long time,
that's
brother.
That's so dirty.
And I'm going to make the most of it. Texas Deathmatch, February 13th, Knoxville.
Fuck.
Bob Armstrong against Terry Funk, and everything's riding on it. He's put it all on the line. Roll the dice. Sure, if the Bullet beats Terry Funk, then that means that Bob Armstrong is the commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling again. I know, yeah. I know all these idiots would love that. But if the Bullet loses, if Bob Armstrong loses to Terry Funk, then, brother, you've got to take that mask off, Bullet, and you've got to show your face this time. And you have to leave Smoky Mountain Wrestling forever, and your last official act will be to get down on your hands and your stinking knees. Yeah, that's exactly right. And crawl across that ring and kiss my smelly, two-week-old, ain't-been-washed feet, Bob Armstrong, because I can't hurt you. I can't put you out of business. I can't injure you so bad that you won't come back because I've tried. But how do you harm a prideful man? You hit him in his pride. And all the people in Knoxville that have supported you for 25 years, all your family, all your friends, all your fans will watch you, Bob Armstrong, kiss the feet of Jim Cornette in the middle of the Knoxville Civic Coliseum February 13th. And if you want to get out of doing that, you've got to beat Terry Funk in a Texas death match, and that's a task that can't no man come up with, no matter how bad they really are.
Ooh, fans, Sunday Bloody Sunday, February 13th in Knoxville. Don't dare miss it. We'll be.
That's okay. So wrong.
Okay, so let
that's
me...
wrong.
Oh, hold on.
I didn't. Well, people on the YouTube channel, if they
want, I know. I'm going to explain what happened for the people who don't watch along here.
Can you use appropriate terminology?
And I'll try.
I mean, no, because that's a kid, dude. Don't fucking say the R word. That's not right, man. I mean, that's so dirty what he did, dude. And that cameraman, the cameraman fucking stays on the kid.
That was so wrong.
That was just dirty, bruh.
So here's what happened. So way up early in the middle of that, in the beginning of that
Police
promo,
defective.
He calls them defectives or defects. And right as he does that, and that, hold on, push pause. So we're looking about the 17:15 mark is where you want to start with this. Probably 17:10, but at 17:20, it's on. I mean, there's a screenshot I'm looking at. And we've got ourselves.
When you say 17:20, that's on, like, the actual YouTube episode on YouTube, not our episode that's up there.
Right.
Where we're
recording. Yeah, whatever. Okay. They can figure that out.
Okay.
If they can figure out the Patreon move, they can figure this out. So anyway, the cameraman shoots to a Corky in the crowd. We got a young gentleman there that's don't you remember the show Life Goes On in the 80s? See if Harper was here. This is where I need Harper. They had it was a show about a family, but the son, Corky, he wasn't up. He was down.
Oh, well, come on, bro. Why do you have to see? You're just an asshole, man.
But, dude, no, I'm not an asshole. That cameraman is an asshole, and Corny's an asshole for leaving that in.
Do you think that Corny saw that poor kid? And
Here's what I'd like to think. I'd like to think that at this point, Corny is so stretched with WWF responsibilities and keeping Smoky Mountain going that this completely flew by him. But what I know to be sure is that cameraman went direct to that guy on purpose.
I would bet that whoever the cameraman was.
Yeah, because look, every sporting event you watch, they come back from commercial and you get to see a hot chick. Cameramen know what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Cameramen know exactly what they're doing. Look at wrestling on NWA. They show one of those frizzy-haired Lisas every time Rick comes out. They know exactly what they're doing. Don't go back. We got to see those local promos. They're both really good. Dude, that was dirty, man.
Fucking filthy.
They showed a mentally challenged kid exactly when he called those people defects, as if to prove the point that these people are chromosomally challenged.
That shit was dirty, bro.
I came unglued. My exact note was, Corny talked about defects, then they showed Corky in the bull shirt. Jesus Christ.
That was not right. That's so dirty. Okay, so let's be real for a second.
You didn't see that. You didn't see that the first time.
Man.
It's hard. Yes, you're taking. But, hey, there's things you miss because we're taking notes. We got kids coming. Hey, Daddy, can you get me?
I got two screens open. I'm trying to write timestamps down along with notes.
Right.
It's like a fucking NASA control room. So when people go, "How'd you miss that?" Well, fuck! I'm not just sitting there watching the episode. I got the episode running. I got the notes right on one side. I'm toggling back and forth. I'm watching this shit.
I'm watching this most. 95% of the time I'm watching this on my iPhone too. So it's tiny. But dude, that I just happened to catch that when I was watching it and I was like, dude, that is disgusting and fantastic all in the same breath.
You know what's bad about that? We keep having this discussion. Every week it's something new about the shit you can't do anymore. Can you imagine?
Now we make that kid the WWF Warrior of the Week.
Which is fine. Which I'm fine with that. But that's not what I'm saying. Can you imagine Monday Night Raw? Fucking Brock. Because I guess they're trying to make him look like a heel right now. Imagine Brock like looking into the crowd and going, and all you fucking genetic chief defects out there, like this guy right here with the bull shirt on, and the camera pans to him, and it's this kid in 2018.
You know what happens?
Holy shit.
You know what happens? The next day, the stock drops. For real.
I could not, like, when you see this, look, Doc and I are laughing, but we don't find anything funny about...
That was pretty funny.
No. This was funny. The actual, what Corny did and the cameraman was funny. We don't find anything funny about kids that, are mentally...
I'm not laughing at the loss of his chromosomes. I'm laughing at what they did to him.
It's like, I can't believe they did this shit. This was so fucking dirty, dude. This was... dirty. That's dirty, bruh. God.
That was filthy.
Well, here's it. And Cornette has used that line before. You know that, right? I mean, this is
you live downwind from the nuclear reactor and all that shit.
Yeah.
Of course he has.
This shit's old. He's used that line a million times in Smoky Mountain, but that's the first time he used that line, and then they panned over to a poor kid with Down syndrome.
Man, what the fuck? I've never missed Harper on an episode more than right now.
Patron episode.
You're kind of glad that he's not here right now, aren't you?
I am. Because there's no telling what would have came out of his mouth and your mouth. Because you two some bitches are like Beavis and Butthead. You motherfuckers get each other going on this type of shit. Like, y'all say shit, and then y'all ratchet it up like some fucking ghetto fabulous ratchetness in the hood. Fuck. For two white guys, you guys know how to ratchet up the hoodness on certain shit. But, okay.
That's because I grew up in the hood.
Yeah, now it's gentrified.
True, but that's not
can't
when I was
afford
there.
To live there anymore.
I was over with black people when it was a survival technique.
Okay. Let's keep going. You want the local promo. I didn't have anything from it, but maybe it's
I want both of them.
Okay, well, here it is. Rock and Roll Express followed by Dirty White Boy and Dirty White Girl.
Kaywood High School.
You know, I heard a lot about the history of Harlan, Kentucky, when I used to go on around there, but I want to invite all you fans to come on down here to see this right here. You see, because this is a situation that happened between us and Jimmy Cornette that involved my dad. Nobody's seen it on TV. But Jimmy Cornette, I want you to know one thing. See, you and your heavy bodies, you take those titles, just throw them out the window. Because we don't care about them anymore. Not at this time. You see, because we know that your tag team can't beat us twice in one night. But we know we can beat them twice in one night. And I know during one of those falls, Jimmy, that we're going to be able to get our hands on you. And one thing my dad always told me, he says, you know, you get that one big chance in life, it always goes around. Our one big chance is going to be right here in Harlan. Wait and see.
Harlan, Kentucky, Kaywood High School, Friday, February the 11th, 8 p.m. It's a Smoky Mountain street fight. The Dirty White Boy with the White Girl against Primetime Brian Lee with Tammy Fish.
You know, I like Harlan, Kentucky because, you know, Mr. Ron Wright, he told me all about Harlan, Kentucky. He said the day that the people up there are born, They come out fighting the doctors. They love to fight up there. Well, that's right down a white boy's alley. You want a street fight? You got it, tough guy. And what happens if Tammy Fetch gets in the way?
You know, I love street fighting. There's nothing like a little clothes coming off or a little slapping or using little fists. That's right up my alley, honey, and I'm going to tear you up.
I'm confused. What did you have from that?
I think those are just two solid promos. First of all, Morton didn't come out there talking about rat banging and rock and roll forever. It was serious. It was different from him. It was titles out the window, man. You came after my dad. We're going to get up there in Harlem where it's real and get real with you. I thought that was a really good promo from Morton, and it was different than the normal promo you get from him.
Okay. What about Dirty White Boy and Girl?
Dirty White Girl telling me she likes to fight in the streets does not surprise me in the least. That's a shoot, I bet. But Dirty White Boy popped me when he was talking about babies in Harlan getting born, coming out wanting to fight the doctor, man. What's wrong with these people in Harlan, Kentucky?
It ain't just Harlan, Kentucky, bro. Come on.
Why is everybody so upset, man? You know what you need to do? All you out there that are so mad at the world and so upset and shit, y'all need to go get you a PhD like me, make some real money, and you know what? Life ain't that hard when you're rich.
Okay. All right. Down and Dirty with Dutch and Cornette is up next.
Hold on. Let's give them the spiff they deserve. You are fast-forwarding right past the Bruise Brothers and Moondogs because that is the new directive from the BTT Board of Directors.
I got no time for that shit. They recap some shit, and then there's more screaming, and I just was like, yeah, you could, no, fuck this.
Let's get over to Howard Stern.
Let's go over now. This is the start of Down and Dirty. Here it is.
It's going to be the wildest cage match of all time, fans. February 13th, Sunday, Bloody Sunday in Knoxville. Now, we'll be right back after this.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Howard Stern, and man, did I sucker you people in. My special guests are on their way to the ring right now, but till they get here, I got a special interview I'd like to show you from two guys who think they're real great. They thought they were great football players, and now they think they're great wrestlers. Doug and Mike Furness, watch this, and then we'll talk to my special guests.
Bob, take a look at this and tell me what it is.
Boy, that is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. It looks like, you know, all the country people out there, it looks like what you use out there by the outhouse when you run out of corn cobs, and everybody knows what those are for. That looks like an Alabama cheerleader or Jim Cornette's backside. I can't remember. I just can't stand that. That's disgusting stuff. Oh, let's get on it worse than that.
You know, let me tell you something. February 13th,
right?
If you think for a minute that two players from University of Tennessee is going to wear this in the middle of the ring, there's no way.
It ain't going to happen. We're going after this thing right here, and we're going to do the right thing with it when we get there.
And that's knock some knots on some heads. And Cornette, you stick that little beanie head of yours through there, and I will put a major dent in it.
Oh, Doc. Thoughts?
Actually, I'm going to tell you this. This was Furness's best work so far, though.
He can't even make a decent spit sound. His brother did.
Yeah. His brother's a star.
I can't. Corny talked about Furness. Somebody sent him a question. He talked about Furness.
I saw it.
On the show.
I mean, I heard it. I heard it. I listen to podcasts, dude.
I know you do. Dutch does say he's Howard Stern this week, okay, can we keep going? You got anything else on the Furnaces right there?
Let's keep going, Pry.
All right, let's go to Cornette now. Here we go.
All right, my special guest here on Down and Dirty with Dutch, right now, Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies. And Jim, I told the people you had a very important announcement, and you'd like to tell them right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And before I do that, I'd like to say one thing about what we just saw, those two dumb jock mushmouth University of Tennessee volunteer football players. The Furnace is February 13th in Knoxville. It's the Tennessee-Alabama match. There's going to be a UT football helmet on top of a 10-foot pole. Whoever gets it can use it any way they want. And if the Furnaces lose, then, brother, they got to stand in the middle of the ring. You know, I love to humiliate people. Because you got an athlete, that's the worst injury that he could have is humiliation in front of his fans. The furnaces will have to stand in the middle of the ring, and they'll have to put on University of Alabama sweatshirts and proclaim them the greatest college football team of all time. And we're going to beat the furnaces, and we're going to humiliate them just like Bob Armstrong. And then, here's the announcement that the world has been waiting for. It's obvious that the Rock and Roll Express are out of their minds. It's obvious that Ricky Morton's a psychotic. It's obvious the whole family and Robert Gibson, too, are nuts. They're trying to kill me for no apparent purpose. I have gone and I have gotten an injunction. My attorney's met with the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Board of Directors, and it's basically this. They can't be coming out here disrupting television, can't be disrupting interviews. No. I've got an injunction. If the Rock and Roll Express attack me, even lay one finger on me outside a sanctioned match, then they'll both be suspended indefinitely. Out of here. They won't get their revenge.
So what you're saying, if they touch you outside a sanctioned Smoky Mountain Wrestling match, they're out of here.
I couldn't do anything about what happens in the course of a match, but they can't disrupt any more of our interviews. Right. They can't disrupt any more of my things that I do over there at the set, and they can't attack me outside a sanctioned match between the Heavenly Bodies and the Rock and Roll Express. Now I want to say one more thing. I don't know why that Ricky Morton is so upset about his father nearly being blind in one eye or whatever's the matter with him. Because after all, I know Paul Morton. I've known him for a long time. The guy has been blind, staggering, falling down drunk for the past 25 years. He's got a drinking problem is what he's got. Yeah. He's a staggering, falling down drunk, and he's been blind for...
Wait a minute, guys. Wait a minute.
Go ahead and hit him! Hit him just one time, and then we'll be ready, Morton. Go ahead, touch him just one time. Hit him. Come on, big boy. Touch him.
Okay, it looks like the Cornette is...
Time. One time, Morton, unless it's a match between us and you. One time, and you're history.
Well, fans, it looks like Cornette is begging Ricky Morton. I'm stepping back out of the way now. It looks like Jimmy Cornette is begging Ricky Morton to come into the ring. Ricky Morton being restrained. Here he comes. Wait a minute. Here he comes again. If he touches him now, we got an injunction.
Doc, thoughts on everything that went down there?
Well, first, when they came out, Del Rey was... rubbing his chest in a very seductive manner. And then he gave us the mime for Paul Morton being a drunk. So, again, the usual good stuff.
They're very hot and
from our buddy there. But, man, I like this angle. I like the idea of the injunction. Morton coming out tight. Dr. Tom was good on the stick there. I thought this was well done.
I still cannot get past Jimmy Del Rey during these promos. He's feeling his chest. Del Rey, when Cornette was talking about Paul Morton being a blind drunk, Del Rey is putting on a show like he's got a walking stick for like the blind people having, and then he starts acting like he's guzzling a 40 or some shit.
Why is it a 40?
Okay. What give me a trashy white liquor. What? Give me one.
Mad Dog.
Oh no, that's some shit. And I don't know, bro. Thunderbird. All that shit's in the same category.
Bones.
Okay, whatever. But he's drunk, and his mannerisms actually put this over even better. But it's a nice little angle where you know Morton can't touch him, even though it's injunction number 561 in the 2 years now of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I'm good with it. I'm enjoying it, and we'll keep going. So, Jason Hurd and Jason West are up next versus the Rock and Roll Express. Good Lord, this was quick. Gibson never even takes his jacket off. They hit the double drop kick with ease. Doc, do you have any thoughts on it before we go to the promo?
I like the line Dutch had nothing but air between Ricky and the Heavenly Bodies. That was funny. Dude, Gibson never took his duster off his jacket.
That's what I said. He even hits a double drop kick in that big ass thing.
And Dutch actually mentioned whether or not Hurd is the son of Jim Hurd.
That's, again, he's done that. This might be the fourth time, actually. He did it.
Okay,
in that,
well, fuck me.
You forgot. You forgot because we
got to talk about something, pal.
No, I mean, what I was about to say was the first time I think he mentions it is in one of those Moondog matches, and he mentions it like two or three times in that one match, and
I don't know what you're talking about. I passed forward through those.
No, you didn't. I actually played it. It's on YouTube, so there you go. Let's keep going. We got Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson up next cutting a promo after their match. Here it is.
All right, fans, here they are, the Rock and Roll Express. Rick, I got to tell you, you can tell that your anger carried right over into that bout, and I think you was trying everything in your power to get to Jim Cornette.
Well, Bob, this goes up to everybody that thinks they know everything about professional wrestling. You see, this right here involved my dad. That means family. That means blood's a lot thicker than water. It means it's personal. You see, Jimmy Cornette, I don't care. You got an injunction against me. But you see, we got matches coming up with you. And we're going to walk through your heavenly bodies because I'm going to get to you. I'm going to get to you, Jimmy Cornette. I'm sick and tired of you putting down all these fans, putting down my family personally, and then touching my family. Oh, get it. There's a time and place for a thing. And Jimmy Cornette, bet your ass on it, brother. I'm going to get to you.
That's pretty damn good. Doc, what do you think?
What's with all the cursing, dude?
We curse, so what's the big deal?
Fuck yeah, we do. I thought that was good, too, man. He's got a real personal issue, and let's get this thing settled. Once and for all.
Yes, outstanding. He's just fired. He's a lot more fired up than last week, but you can tell it's still emotional to him. And I think the one line he said that I thought was different than any other is, you know, Jimmy Cornette, you've been talking about me. You've been talking about these people. You've been doing me wrong for a long time. Now you bring my family into it. Not only do you bring my family into it, but you put your hands on my family. I got a real problem with you. That's different. The part that where he actually puts his hands on his own father and his family is what makes this a bigger deal to me. So, they've been around for a while, Rock and Roll and the whole Midnight and Heavenly Bodies with Cornette, but this is one of the first times you've seen something like this where, look, he attacked the man's family and he threw Drano in his eyes. So, yeah, we're pissed off, man. This is some serious shit. So, all right, Doc, any other thoughts before we keep going?
No.
All right. Well, I've got the Sunday Bloody Sunday plug playing in the background, so... As you can see, bunch of nice little matches right there. We got Brian Lee versus Dirty White Boy. We got the Bullet versus Terry Funk. While you're watching it on the YouTube channel, I just want to remind everyone, make sure you're using the Amazon referral link. It's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. It is a great way to support the show. Look, if you don't want to be a patron, that's fine. I mean, look.
No, it's not. Be a patron.
We do 8 free shows a month, but if you want to show your appreciation to what we do with this show and don't feel like becoming a patron, guess what? Use the Amazon referral link. It doesn't cost you anything extra. Again, it's tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon, and that's that. Again, and if you want to become a patron, though, that is tinyurl.com/PatreonBTT. We made the announcement a few weeks back on the show. Not only are we going to do some more watch-alongs as time permits, but I think by this time maybe one will already be up, but I think we'll even post the video of those watch-alongs. So there you go, something new for the Patreons out there, tinyurl.com/PatreonBTT. All right, Doc, let's keep the show moving along. We go next to Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy Fitch. I'm sure you've got some notes from it, but let me get the timestamp on it right here so that I can get past that stupid commercial that we've seen 500 times on Smoky Mountain Wrestling where we're trying to go to a civic club or a civic organization. Let's go now. Let's go now to Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy Fitch. Before I do that, real quick, can you imagine if the person who has these originals would have uploaded them with the actual original commercials in it, some of the shit we would have seen from this area?
Our episodes would be twice as long.
Because of the commercials, huh?
Yeah, we'd be cutting promos on the locals even more than we already do.
Yeah.
You got to imagine something. These people live in our country, but not really.
Our country? Yeah. This ain't my country, brother.
What?
I'm just being stupid. I'm being stupid. I thought you were gonna make another crazy comment, but I'm just being stupid.
But they don't, dude. We are living completely different lives than these people, and I'm not trying to.
It's not just the Smoky Mountains, though.
I'm just saying.
There's people in Texas that live the same way. There's people in Louisiana that are the same way. They live in America, but they really don't.
Not my America.
So far away from
not my America.
Okay.
We the people.
Let's go now to Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy Fitch. Here they are.
In Knoxville on February 14th, these two right here are going to have a lot to do with it that day.
You know, I cannot believe this is actually happening. Not only do we have a chain match with the Dirty White Boy, but Ron Wright is coming back and we crippled him and he shouldn't be back and it's just not fair. Ryan's a wrestler, he should have a wrestling match, not one of these barbaric stupid chain matches, and I'm going to get blood all over my clothes and I don't know what to do because
blood? Clothes?
Yeah!
Tammy, that's my blood. I might get killed in this match. It's a chain match. What are you talking about, your clothes? You're my manager. I can't even believe this is happening to me.
It's not my fault.
Well, whose fault is it?
It's not my fault.
I'll tell you what, Dirty White Boy, it's somebody's fault, and I'm going to put all the blame on you. I'm going to see by February 13th. I'm going to take you out, and you probably won't even make it to that date. Come on, Tammy. I can't believe this is going on.
It's not my fault.
Sunday, February 13th, fans. Right now, let's go to the ring.
Well, a little bit of dissension creeping in the house. Doc, your thoughts?
Man, that follows that time-old adage that no matter how fine she is, somebody somewhere is sick of her shit. Seems like PBL's getting tired of this bullshit.
You ain't fucking lying about that. God damn. No matter how good they look, man, how good they smell, somebody out there at some point got tired of their shit. So, okay. Well, we go to the ring. And it's Killer Kyle versus the Dirty White Boy. More to come on Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy Fitch in the coming weeks, obviously. There was a seed that was just planted. But we go to the ring with Killer Kyle versus Dirty White Boy with the Dirty White Girl. Bob Caudle and Dutch bring up the dissension that we just heard between Brian Lee and Tammy. Been about 6 to 8 weeks since we last saw Killer Kyle, from my memory. During the match, Dutch talks about the thousands of women he's dealt with. And he knows how they are. He was saying that in relation to, again, the bad blood seeming to be brewing with Tammy and Brian Lee, which I thought was funny. Dutch talking about the thousands of bitches he's been with. Doc, did you catch any of that?
No, I missed that. I was too busy watching the wrestling.
It was funny. The finish is when Dirty White Boy hits a crossbody on Kyle. Then Primetime Brian Lee runs out. Dirty White Boy is fighting them off as best as possible. But then Candido comes in and gets in on the action, which leaves Kyle, Candido, and Primetime Brian Lee attacking Dirty White Boy. Smothers comes out to help. Dirty White Boy gets the chain. Everyone but Primetime Brian Lee clears the ring. And that is when Dirty White Boy hangs Primetime Brian Lee from the top rope for a few seconds. Heck of a finish. Nothing is resolved. And then we go to commercial. Doc, this was pretty good. This little finish and what they did here. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, Dirty White Boy will hang a motherfucker now, won't he?
When's the last time he hung? Well, I'm gonna give stuff away if I start talking about when's the last time he hung someone. But this was good, dude. I mean, it was fire, man. These people, I mean, you could see it on the screen I'm sharing right now, but these people really got into it, man. You see them jumping up in the background when Dirty White Boy's wheeling and dealing, and then Candido comes out, and, you know, it's 3-on-1, and this was good, dude.
What's in the case, Dutch? That was kind of a week.
Remember that from back in the day?
Yeah.
God, 2 years ago.
Right.
Literally, I thought this was 2 years ago.
Battle of the Heavyweights, I thought this was a good match. I thought these guys are both good at what they do, and they use their size well. And then the ending was chaotic with the jumping them and the chain and all that. So, good stuff. Nothing resolved.
Really,
why would you resolve anything on free TV?
Did you really miss when Dutch said what he said? Okay.
I probably was interrupted by a kid or something while I was trying to do this shit.
Just double checking, just being sure. Hey, look.
Why can't you catch everything, Mike?
Hey, look. Primetime Brian Lee's about to get hung. Check that out. Well, give us some commentary on that.
Somebody take care of my Camaro. Somebody take care of my Camaro. Help me. I'm tired of Tammy's smelly pussy.
Damn.
That bitch got me into this mess.
He got hung, dude. That was that was pretty good,
gimmick,
man.
Ain't gimmicking that chain either. Keep going. Keep going.
Don't do the local promo?
Nope. Take us to the end.
I thought when Dirty White Girl in the promo said that... not Dirty White Girl. I thought when Tammy called Dirty White Girl a walking infection and that the Dirty White Girl is like 7-Eleven, she's always open. Didn't you think that was kind of ironic?
Yeah, I thought that was some... Maybe we need to get her a mirror.
Oh, that's nice. All right, so we did say keep going. So you want to go to... Are you saying keep going to the Holiday Inn Express plug or the closing promo?
The closing promo, sir. Let's get to the end here. Yeah, buddy.
So we got Smothers, Dirty White Boy, Dirty White Girl out there. Here they go.
Unbelievable wild time in a ring there. Tracy Smothers, Dirty White Boy, Dirty White Girl, White Girl.
You listen up here, you little street walking tramp. When I get my hands on you, honey, I promise you there's going to be hell to pay.
Tracy.
Hey, White Boy, as bad as you and I hate each other, I think we both hate that backstabbing Brian and that crybaby Chris and that stinking Tammy Witch worse.
You better believe it.
Hey, I say let's take care of these guys. You got a partner you can trust right here. I give you my word again as a man. Let's kick those guys' butts once and for all.
You got it, big guy.
And what I'm looking forward to, February the 13th, Knoxville, Tennessee, at the Coliseum. Oh. It's a chain match.
There you go.
And Ron Wright is going to walk that aisle with me. A man, a living legend that has never, ever lost a chain match. So there's no way in hell, primetime, I'm going to lose in front of Ron Wright. What you just got out here was just a small, small taste of what's going to happen on the 13th in K-Town. Because then, big boy, in Knoxville Coliseum, I'm going to hang you with this chain from the damn rafters. And as God is my witness, I'm knocking out the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion.
All right, fans, it's going to be Sunday, Bloody Sunday, Knoxville, Tennessee, February 13th. You don't want to miss that. Next week, right here, Ron Wright. Much more. We'll see you then.
Ron Wright next week.
You see that shit next week, man. God dang, hit fast forward. Let's get to that shit.
Ron Wright next week. Wow.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, did you hear that crowd pop when he said he was going to hang him from the rafters? Those people, I mean... Then they showed the little girl with the old woman and the little girl with the Confederate flag. That shit's like child abuse. Jesus, man.
But through it all,
man, Dirty White Boy's got some serious intensity. He's on a mission. He's here for a reason and multiple reasons to get some revenge and get that title. And to avenge Ron Wright, man, I like this. This is good stuff. Just keep Dirty White Girl off the stick, please.
I think she's funny when she starts fumbling through stuff. Although, I do have to say, I disagree so far with that she will get the Tim Horner reward on multiple occasions, only because she doesn't have enough mic time, usually, it seems, to get the Tim Horner reward. Even though she got bamboozled and fumbled herself up a couple of times, but she doesn't have long promos like where she'd have the opportunity to cut a promo like Horner did when he cut the Mr. Warndorf promo, if you recall. So I thought that was really good, really fired up. Listen up, you street walking tramp, when Dirty White Girl said that, and boy, these people were going nuts when Smother said, "Let's you and I kick those guys' asses."
Yeah, buddy, the bromance is on.
The fucking Confederate flag was waving, and these people were fired up. Love to tease at the end with Ron Wright coming up next week. So, Doc, I guess we do need to give out some disability checks. Wouldn't you agree?
Sure, why not?
All right, so you go first.
I thought this was a really good episode. I liked it. There's a lot going on. You do have Terry Funk coming in. We're teasing Ron Wright. Man, if we could just get these Moondogs out of here and take the Bruise Brothers with us would be pretty good. Hot angles going on. A couple of really good matches in Candido and Spicoli, and then the Dirty White Boy and Kyle. for all that and more, I'm going to say 8.1.
Okay. I had an 8, so I do agree. Don't sleep on that first match with Candido and Spicoli. I mean, that happened at the very beginning, but really, really good. And you had some really solid promos, man. I mean, the promos in this episode were, I mean, nothing like Austin 316 or type promos, but still some damn good promos, man. Really good stuff. All right, so we're gonna do the government cheese in a second. A couple reminders. One, don't forget to join the new Facebook group. If you go to tinyurl.com/bttfbgroup, you can get in and come join in on the Smoky Mountain Wrestling discussions, the NWA discussions, and the unprofessional discussions, a whole lot more. It is a group that unprofessionalism runs rampant, and it's a fun time. Guys are all on there talking about their favorite moments on the show. A couple weeks back, Hopper hit a line on Vladimir Pietrov, and Doc, I don't know if you remember, but he said Pietrov was a walking rain delay.
Yeah, I remember that.
Dude, got over like fucking crazy on the Facebook group. People just ran wild with that one.
You know what that's a takeoff of, right?
Walking rain delay?
Yeah, there was a baseball player back in the 70s and 80s. He became a manager. He played for the Rangers, but he also played for the Indians. Mike Hargrove became a manager, and between every pitch, he would step out of the box and go through this series of gyrations and fixing things and readjusting things, and he got the name the human rain delay.
Okay, I gotta go look at that. What's his name? I gotta look that up.
Mike Hargrove.
Okay, that's a definite happening today. I gotta look this dude up because I had no clue that's where Harper may have gotten that from. Good shit, though. And then I want a special shout-out, Hall of Fame patrons, before I forget, Bill Sosa, Ray Moore, Tony Miller, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, at SPAC Face, C. Browning, K. underscore Row 86, Mitchell Johns 18, Spy Boy Sports Cap, Merciless Jones, Disrespectfully Classy, Marky Blassie, which, by the way, Marky Blassie sent me an Urban Dictionary thing from the show. Doc, I'm going to read it on an NWA show. By the time this hit airs, you would have heard it. But we got to talk about that next time we record an NWA show. It's fabulous. JMM7530, DR1851, Rube1452, Frog Zeppelin, R. Smith 9000, Big Rich at 945 Sports Beat, Jesse Lucas, Joe Ice, MPRU83, Alice, Ari Miller 39, Justin underscore Andretti, J Shiny 21, Natural Hacksaw, Thin Man Within, Slider 91, US, USC 49er Dodger, Joe Greeny 3rd, TL 94, SV Padrum, Martin Howell 71, Tim Moretti, Coleman 822, God Boiled Unreal Unconvinced Ray. Now let's go do the Government Cheese Award. Fuck, I really got to give this one some thought, because I want to give it to the Moondogs and the Bruise Brothers, but we skipped that. So I don't know if that's really fair that we can't give it to them.
I
mean, not the Government Cheese Award. I was thinking Tim Horner Award.
Oh, they definitely get that. Absolutely.
Okay. I meant to go to the Tim Horner Award before the Government Cheese, even though we don't technically do the Tim Horner Award every week. Thank you at Thin Man Within for that one. But so you would agree they would get the Tim Horner.
Yes.
Because we skipped it.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So then the Government Cheese, I feel dirty in doing this. Corny's got to get it because of... No. The fucking cameraman.
There you go.
Gets the Government Cheese.
You're damn right.
For being a fucking asshole and doing what he did to that poor kid.
The cameraman gets the cheese, dude.
So is this the first time ever in wrestling that you can say right now that the cameraman probably has more heat than any performer?
Yes.
Because, I mean, they can get in the way, right? They can fuck shit up as far as maybe like getting in the way of guys and shit like that. But this was just blatant. I'm about to... Cornette is saying something, but I'm about to make this shit a million times worse.
Yes.
Fuck. Okay, any other thoughts, Doc?
No, the cameraman gets the cheese, dude.
We got to do a Patreon episode with Harper just on that segment, Doc.
Jesus Christ.
Can you imagine? He's going to lose his mind, bro. I can't even simulate what the fuck he would say. All right.
So that's going to do it for episode 105 from January 29th of 1994. Episode 106 will be up next week, probably more than 7 days after it's no, it'll still come out at its normal time. But this week that you're listening to this, you got a double header if I drop them the way I'm planning on. But anyway, Doc, any other thoughts before we get out of here?
Can we please just go?
Yeah, we got another show to do, and we've been at this for an hour and 10 minutes. So, Doc, you haven't done this in a while. Hit the tagline and take us home.
Book it, bitch.